I know I say this about every Jewish holiday, but I think the Shu holiday in Shavuos is not only strange, it's written in a strange way. Now, what do I mean by that? Look, every Jewish holiday has a date, right? Going through them quickly, if we may. Rosh Hashanah, very simple. Rosh in Hebrew.
First of
the year, which is Tishrei. And the first 2 days of Tishrei. Yom Kippur, how many days after Rosh Hashanah?
Eight
days after Rosh Hashanah. And then Sukkot is how many days after Yom Kippur?
No, thank God.
We have a few time. We still have a little while. We can get our sukkah ready. 5 days later, 4 days later, meaning the fifth day after Yom Kippur is Sukkot. Right. And then at the end of Sukkot, after the 7 days of Sukkot, is the holiday of Shmini Atzeret, which is 2 days outside of Israel. And ultimately, you have many, many holidays in one little month. It's the most bunched up month in the holiday year. Right? Leaving out the minor holidays, if I may. Hanukkah and Purim, we'll leave out. We'll go right to Pesach. Passover, which is celebrated when?
Celebrated?
Which month?
Yeah.
Excellent. Which day? 15th. Oh, wow. 15th day for 7 days in Israel, 8 days outside of Israel. First 2 days and last 2 days are holy days where all the restrictions apply. Now comes the Shavuot. Now, all the dates that you've quoted, you didn't just know it because you looked at the RBC calendar, or you happened to look at your notes. If for some reason you were stuck, you forgot, temporary amnesia, or, like I like to call it, fatigue, you go to the Bible. Open up the Bible. Open up the Chumash. You look to the book of Leviticus, Vayikra. You look to the book of Bamidbar, Numbers. You'll see there is dates to every single holiday. Now, mind you, we call the month of Nisan, Nisan. That's a Babylonian way of saying it. But in the Torah, it's called the first month, the seventh month, Nisan being the first month of the year, Tishrei being the seventh month of the year, and it tells you on the 10th day, on the first day, on the 15th day, the dates are there. Not so with regard to the holiday of Shavuos. Now, how do we know Shavuos comes out when it does? I mean, how do we know this Thursday night is Shavuos?
It's 49 days
after the second day of Pesach, correct. So the 50th day after the second day of Pesach, corresponding the counting of the Omer, which we've been doing basically since we began, is the holiday of Shavuot or Shavuos. Great. Now, why does the Torah write it in such a strange way? If I want, what is this, a riddle? I want to tell you, listen, in a few weeks from now is Shavuos, you got to tell your employer to let you off from work. It's the holiday of Shavuos. Tell her. On the 6th of Sivan is the holiday of Shavuos, corresponding to June 2nd. Finished. No. The Torah wants you to play riddles. Okay? On the 49th day after the second day of Pesach, then you have to figure out, 49th day after the 49th day, that's 50, right? Yeah, 50th day. So the 50th day after the second day of Pesach, or the first day? No, I said the second day. Oh, okay. So the 50th day after the second day of Pesach is Shavuos. Got it. Great. Simple. Wonderful. What is this? What, are we playing riddles here? The Torah could have written it very simply. I could do this for the rest of the holidays. If the Torah doesn't want to give dates, let it not ever give dates. If the Torah loves to give dates, why do you exclude poor Shavuos? Why is it the Torah didn't write a date to the holiday of Shavuos? That's from your perspective, question number one. Now we're going to make you crazy. Because when Jews ask questions, they love it. They go into it. Now we're getting to question number two. Question number two. How many days is Shavuos? Two. How many days is Sukkot?
Sukkot?
Well, it's a trick question because the end of Sukkot is another holiday of Shmini Atzeret. Sukkot is 7 days. Shmini Atzeret is 2 more days, but basically it's all together, so we say 9 days. Fine. How many days is Pesach or Passover to some?
Oh, no.
I wish.
Two Seders,
correct. Then we have the intermediate days. Eight, correct. So, how many days of Shavuot? 2. Pesach. How many days of Pesach?
Eight.
Sukkot is 9. So I like the ratio over here. If you had to do ratio in school, you'd love this. 2, 8, 9. Does that seem like a good ratio to you? The Jewish holidays span from 2 days to 9 days in the following sequence. Either 2, 7, 8, or 9. Make sense to anyone over here at the table? Doesn't make sense. Now, let me ask you all a question. And this is a very important question. Why is Shavuos excluded? It seems like every other Jewish holiday has this major week or plus to celebrate it. And unfortunately, Shavuos has, no offense, a measly 2 days. How many days in Israel?
One.
So in Israel, it's hardly anything. So 1 day, that's it, like a Shabbos. So a major Jewish holiday, 1 day. Now question number 3. We're going to have a good time tonight. Question number 3. What happened on Shavuos?
Moses got
not just the scrolls. Moshe got the entire Torah on Mount Sinai, the scrolls meaning the written Torah, and the oral Torah on Mount Sinai. Very good. How do we know that? Have you ever seen it written anywhere in the Bible? It doesn't say so. With regard to Sukkot, it says we sit in the Sukkot because for 40 years God watched over the Jewish people that sat in Sukkot in the desert. Fine. For Pesach, it says God took you out of bondage on this day. Let's see what it says with regard to the holiday of Shavuos. So I'm going to read this from you. This is the chapter 23 of Vayikra, the book of Leviticus. Has all the holidays in this chapter. We read this Torah reading on the second day of Pesach, on the first 2 days of Sukkot. It's a very known Torah reading, okay? Here it goes. Right after the holiday of Pesach, it says like this, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, as you know, the Torah always is written in such a way that it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, and then saying, Moses told it over to the Jewish people. That's the way the Torah was given. Remember on Shavuos, on the holiday of Shavuos, we were all standing at Mount Sinai, and God was supposed to speak to us, but we chickened out. So he said, Moses will hear it, and we'll hear it from Moses. Therefore, today, the Torah is authentic because we believe in Moses. If you believe in Moses, we know the Torah is authentic. So, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come to the land which I am giving you, and you will reap its harvest, you shall bring the Kohen and Omer at the beginning of your reaping. So, when you come to the land of Israel, you will bring the Kohen and Omer sacrifice from the harvest on, presumably, on Pesach. Because right beforehand we talked about Pesach. But just in case you didn't know when, and he shall wave the Omer before the Lord, so that it will be acceptable for you. The Kohen shall wave it on the day after the rest day. We have a tradition from Sinai, of course. Remember the Oral Torah? What's the rest day? The first day of Pesach, which indeed had all the restrictions of a holiday. The day after the rest day is the second day of Pesach, okay? So the Omer sacrifice is brought on the second day of Pesach, okay? The chapter goes on. I'm not going to read all the different offerings that's brought on that particular day. And it goes on to say the following. And you shall count for yourself from the morrow of the rest day. Again, what's the morrow of the rest day? Day after first day of Pesach, from the day you bring the Omer, that is the day we bring the Omer sacrifice, right? Mm-hmm. 7 weeks. You shall count 7 weeks. What do we call that counting? Sfirat HaOmer, counting of the Omer. Very good. They shall be complete. Remember that word, they shall be complete. We'll talk about that later. So far so good, right? Day after Pesach, you bring an Omer sacrifice. From that day on, you count the Omer. Wonderful. You shall count until the day after the seventh week. When do you stop counting? The day after the seventh week. Here's the real reels I referred to you before. The day after the seventh week, you have to think, what's the day after the seventh week? Seventh week, 49 days. 50th day, that's what it is, good. Torah then says the 50th day. All those morons, doesn't figure it out. Torah calls and says, the 50th day on which you shall bring a new meal offering to the Lord. So on the 50th day after you brought the Omer sacrifice, you're going to bring a new meal offering to the Lord. Fine. From your dwelling places, you shall bring bread, set aside two loaves made from two tenths, etc., etc. And it goes on and on and on and on. And then it says the following. After telling us all about the sacrifice you bring on this 50th day, the day after the seventh week, right? And you shall designate on this very day a holy occasion. It shall be a holy day. The word holy occasion is the same word used for Pesach, for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, for many biblical holiday, a holy occasion. It shall be for you. You shall not perform any work of labor, any sort of labor that's prohibited on the holiday. This is an internal statute in all your dwelling places throughout your generations. So first of all, it's very evident here that it's riddles. Doesn't tell us the day. Just say the 6th of Sivan. Let's do the math, right? Number two, and this is what I wanted to get to after asking the first two questions I asked. First question being, why is it that we have all these riddles? Question number two, why is it that the holiday of Shavuos is only given 2 days as opposed to the major Jewish holidays? Question number three, did anyone hear anything in my description just now about the giving of the Torah? Nothing. Now you may say, listen, it's not written over here. It's written somewhere else in the Torah that the Torah God gave the Torah on Shavuos, and that's the reason we celebrate on Shavuos. Now it's true that on the Shavuos day, we're going to read a Torah reading from the book of Exodus that says that on the third month, the month of Sivan, they came to Mount Sinai, and God said, prepare yourself for these and these amount of days, and you do the math, it comes out to that day. But it doesn't say that you celebrate Shavuos because of the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai. It doesn't say so here. It doesn't say so in any other description in the Torah. So a big discrepancy, number three, is not just in the amount of days. It's why you celebrate. All other Jewish holidays, namely Pesach and Sukkot, it tells you why you celebrated on that day. So Shavuos, as we say in our language, gornisht, nothing, zilch, doesn't tell us one word about giving of the Torah. What is this, a hidden secret? We know it happened. That's why I come to the realization that Sukkot, that Shavuos is one of the most strangest holidays on the Jewish scene. It doesn't tell you the date. It gives you a measly day or 2 days. And finally, it goes ahead and doesn't even tell you why you're celebrating it. I mean, the giving of the Torah, that's a major event. That's hides it. Why are you sitting here tonight learning Torah if not the God commanded you to learn Torah? It's a major event. And still hidden in between the lines over here somewhere. Right? Now comes a very interesting feature about this holiday. As you know, this time of the year, we're sitting here tonight, it's almost 8 o'clock, but the sun is still shining in Halifax, because sunset is very late, and thereby nightfall is very late. Now, you all know the Jewish holidays begin at nightfall, and that poses a very big problem, because if you have to wait till nightfall to eat, that means you'll start your dinner at 9:30 at night. So all year long, usually we incorporate, in these summer months, the minority view that says you can start a little earlier. You can't do that on Shavuos. Why? Well, little reason. Remember before we said we have to count the 7 days, the 7 weeks? And we said that it has to be not just 7 weeks, it has to be what? Told you to remember the term?
Thou shalt be
complete. So accordingly, you can't celebrate the holiday of Shavuos until these days are complete. Meaning until the 49th day is totally finished. Which means nightfall of day 50. Which means Thursday, until Thursday is totally over, then we cannot celebrate Shavuos. And just adding to our questions, why is it that that's only, why does the Torah command us to wait till the 49th day is totally and utterly over to celebrate Shavuos? Every other Shabbos we can accept Shabbos early, within reason, even when the Friday is not totally over. You can turn Friday into Shabbos. Why can't you turn day 49 to day 50? The Torah doesn't allow you to do that. It has to be complete. Why? So as you can see, Shavuos is becoming stranger and stranger as we get along. We've posed four questions, and as we're saying, I'm just getting warmed up. Because now we come to something very, very, very strange. This connects to the question I asked before, but let's assume that the Torah was given on Shavuos, right? That's a good assumption. That's what the Jews believed for generations. I guess we can tag along with them, right, Rachel? Even though they didn't say so in the Torah, we believe them? Good. Okay? Now, Torah is a major event. I mean, that's the reason we're sitting here tonight. That's the reason we're keeping kosher. That's the reason we live a whole Jewish lifestyle. Shouldn't we get more days than Pesach? I mean, Pesach was a one-time event. The only reason we're sitting here tonight is because of Shavuos. So Shavuos should get much more than Pesach and Sukkot. Gets less. And now, this will maybe lead us into an answer. Because the minute you get 10 questions, like you get 5 questions, you understand that you're on a roll here. You're on a very good roll. And I'm just going to add one more question, and I'm going to stop. I can continue, actually, but I'm going to stop. Every holiday has a mitzvah connected to it, as you know. Meaning, there's a specific mitzvah you fulfill on a specific holiday. It's not just a holiday. There's a specific mitzvah that's designated for that holiday that you don't do outside of that holiday. You may, but it's not a mitzvah. It's not a commandment. Let's go through it. What's the mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah?
To blow the shofar.
Excellent. What's the strange mitzvah, or what's the unique mitzvah of Yom Kippur? Fasting. Fasting. You don't fast on any other Jewish holiday. What's the unique mitzvah of Sukkot? Endless. Sukkah and shake the lulav and etrog, correct. What's the unique mitzvah of Chanukah? We'll take rabbinic holidays into the consideration here. Light the menorah. What's the unique mitzvah of Purim? Read the Megillah. You go ahead, you do many, many different mitzvahs on Purim, 4 different mitzvahs. What's the unique mitzvah of Pesach besides the Seder night? But the Seder night, obviously all the mitzvahs of the Seder night. Matzah, yeah, eating matzah. There might be a mitzvah of eating matzah all 7 days. What's the unique mitzvah of Shavuos? Nothing. Nothing. There's many customs like eating dairy on Shavuos for various reasons. I give you the challenge to find all the reasons. There's about 6 I know offhand, and there's many more. Why you eat dairy on Shavuos? Most holidays we encourage meat, and that makes me very happy. But on the holiday of Shavuos, we could dairy. I give you the challenge. It's a custom. It's a custom to decorate the synagogue with greenery, to remind us that Mount Sinai all of a sudden was green that morning when they woke up and they received the Torah, and to remind us of this is the season of the harvest. But all customs, there isn't any mitzvah commandment from God specifically on this holiday. Strange, if you ask me. And this will lead me into my answer. The holiday of Shavuos as a holiday of receiving the Torah was not supposed to be in any shape or form a commemoration of an event that happened then, but rather God wanted Shavuos to stick out as a holiday of something that happens now. And I want to prove my point by quoting a very strange bracha. We just finished 2 lessons on brachas. Let's connect them. A good lecturer always connects what he says together, so it's one beautiful puzzle. I wish I knew a lecturer like that. Ladies, very interesting. Every morning you wake up, you open up your siddur, there's a bracha on the Torah, which probably is a bracha on a mitzvah. It's the same language as a mitzvah. Baruch atah Hashem, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidishanu b'mitzvotav. You have commanded us in your command, mitzvahs, v'tzivanu, and commanded us, la'asok b'tivrei Torah, to be busy with the words of Torah. Which means you have a mitzvah of learning Torah. And then you continue this bracha with the whole recitation. Then you end with Baruch atah Hashem, blessed be you God, hamelameid Torah le'amo Yisrael, you teach Torah to the children of Israel. Shouldn't have been, what shouldn't have been, I would say like this, what should have been written? Does God teach you Torah today? Did you hear from God today teaching you? God say, hey, Rachel, come to your lunch break, I want to teach you something.
No, I haven't had that.
Did God teach us Torah in the past?
Mount Sinai.
So it should have been, blessed be you, God, you taught us Torah. And we continue to learn. It says you teach us. Present tense, not past tense. My opinion, that's exactly what God wanted. He didn't want you to think that the Torah was given as an historic event, like taking out of Egypt, an historic event that happened then. It's happening right now. You should be receiving the Torah right now, at this very moment, on this very day, every day, anew. According to Nachmanides, based on a very explicit verse in the book of Deuteronomy, the book of Devarim, the last book of the Torah, it says there that you shall remember the day you received the Torah. So, according to Nachmanides, this is a positive commandment of the Torah. Maimonides doesn't agree, but Nachmanides feels this is a positive commandment. One of the 613, you have to remember, recall the day you received the Torah every day. So it's like every day you receive the Torah anew. Isn't that amazing? Now how? We don't have Mount Sinai every day. Jews aren't in the desert. We gave back the Sinai. We gave the Sinai up to the Egyptians. So Mount Sinai is definitely not even in Jewish hands. How? The answer is, every day when you wake up, do you have a yearning to learn more about the Torah? To learn more about what God gave you then? Or you have other concerns in your life? If you are yearning to learn Torah every day, then, and only then, are you receiving the Torah every day. Not only receiving it every day, it's something new. Because you're not just learning what they've learned, you're going to add your little dimension to it. You're going to ask that one question that no one ever asked before. And at the end of the Amidah, you make reference to this. It says there at the end of the Amidah, we say, may be God's will that you rebuild the temple. Right at the end of the Amidah. V'ten chelkenu b'toratecha. And give us our share in your holy Torah. What do you mean, our share? The answer, in my opinion, is every Jew has a share in the Torah. Every Jew has his own unique share, its own unique question that's never been asked. His own unique insight that's never been said. Its own unique issue that's never been spoken for. And that's it being new every single day. And now we can answer some of our questions that we asked. What was the first question we asked?
Why wasn't there a date?
Why wasn't there a date? God didn't want you to dwell too much on the historic date. He wants you to dwell on living a Jewish lifestyle every single day. Imagine if once a year the Jews kept kosher on Shavuos. To remember and recall that God gave us the Torah on Shavuos and said, hey, keep kosher. Be a catastrophe. So in order to prevent that, God said to us, keep the Torah every single day. And in order to prevent you from some warped thinking that you have to restrict your observance just to that day, I'm hiding that day in a bunch of riddles. You'll know when it is. 50th day, 49 weeks, 49 days, 7 weeks. You'll know it. You'll figure it out. But I don't want you to dwell on that day too much. As a matter of fact, when they used to determine the month based on the moon, sometimes Shavuos would come out on the 6th, sometimes on the 5th, sometimes on the 7th. So in essence, it never came out on the right day. Who knows when it's going to come out? God doesn't want you to dwell on the historic significance of that day. God wants you to receive it anew every day and to live it like a Jew every day. Not just when they're looking at you and not just when it's Sabbath, not just when you happen to be keeping Pesach. Every day. Anywhere you are in the world. And therefore, God hid the day. as opposed to any other Jewish holiday. Hid the day, so you wouldn't dwell on it too much, so you wouldn't make a big deal out of it. Yeah, it's Shavuos, and we received the Torah, but hey, we're not making a big deal. What's question number two? I'm forgetting two. Gotta look at my notes here. Question number two. What was question number two? Why is there only 2 days for Shavuos? Add into this the question that we asked. After all, we received the Torah. It's a major event. I mean, the only reason you're going to go crazy in trying to find a kosher cheesecake in Halifax is because you received the Torah on Shavuos. Give it 12 days. The answer is, once again, God doesn't want you to dwell on this day too much. He wants you to live a Jewish lifestyle every single day. So he gives you a date to celebrate the actual event that it happened. But it's very much like a marriage. I mean, you have an anniversary every year. It's a special date. It's the day you got married. The only reason that you have a home together, and the only reason that you have kids, and the only reason that you have everything else, is because of that day of marriage, right? So the anniversary is very special. Does anyone live in such a way that every day is an anniversary for them? No. But every day they love each other, and every day they're devoted to one another. They share the same bank account. The husband suffers when his wife goes to the clothes store, and the wife suffers when the husband goes to the electronics store. So, that's every single day. That's not just an anniversary, what, once a year you come together? Imagine if a relationship between a husband and wife would have been such a once a year in the anniversary they live together. The rest of the year, he's over here, she's over there. We don't want that to happen with our relationship with God. So we live a Jewish lifestyle all the time, and therefore, very simply put, we celebrate the anniversary, yes, just like any other anniversary. One day. 2 days because of the historic doubt. One day. That's it. Finished. Finito. Just like an anniversary. Because you don't want you to dwell on that day only. And this will bring a bar to question number three. Question number three. What did we say? Question number three was, in the Torah, not only is there riddles, but rather there's also a problem that doesn't say what day the Torah was given. Just say, Shavuos the Torah was given. You have to figure it out in such an obscure way. And again, the answer is, God didn't want you to dwell only on that day. He wants to prevent a situation where you're a Jew for a day a year, or three times a year, like certain people are. 3 times a year they're Jewish. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Finished. No, you're Jewish every day. And therefore, don't dwell on this holiday. It's an important anniversary, yes. But make it be an anniversary of a long-term relationship. Not an anniversary of a relationship that doesn't exist.
So why is it so important that you can't start it early?
We'll get to that. You're faster than me, Melody. I'm just at question number three. You jumped ahead. Now we get to question number four. Why is it you can't start it early? Why does it have to be complete 49 days? And here's where I believe is the real beauty of our tradition. It's not very obvious to a Jew that the Torah is a gift. The Torah is a nuisance most of the time. Let's face it. Is it easy to keep kosher? Is it fun to keep Shabbos all the time? Is it fun to go to your employer every year with a Jewish calendar and say, listen, I'm taking off on this day, and 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 of course, you know, Christmas and all the rest, I'm going to take off too, because, you know, I'm going to be deprived. But, you know, it's a nuisance. And it's a nuisance to be stuck in an airport without any kosher food, and it's a nuisance to do many different things. Is it really a gift? Is it really a privilege, as opposed to it being a liability? This is a very hard determination to make. And therefore we need that count of 49 days between Pesach and Shavuos to uplift ourselves a little bit, to realize this is a gift. Yes, it's a nuisance, but it's also a gift. It's not fun to live with a woman that all she does every morning is complain about getting up early. But it's fun to live with a woman the rest of the time. And it's not fun to live with a man who's an annoyance. And all men are, as you know. But is, if you look at the bigger picture, it is indeed wonderful. And this, in my opinion, brings us to why you have to wait till it's dark, till the 49th day is finished. Because you do not want a Jew just to come into Shavuos. You want him to feel totally and utterly that this is indeed a very big privilege, not, God forbid, a nuisance. And therefore, you let the 49 days sink in, and you anticipate the beauty of the Torah. Imagine the scene, Thursday night in Halifax. Jews are going to come to synagogue to daven mincha, the afternoon service, at 8:40 p.m. Afternoon service, 8:40 p.m., which is the last moment you can daven. You're going to have to wait till it gets dark to daven ma'ariv. Then you're going to come home to begin your meal. Imagine all day you're waiting. When is it going to start already? When's it going to start already? Let's eat. I mean, the beef is in the oven. The brisket is there. We always eat meat for the holiday. I look forward. The brisket is there. Wait and wait and wait. You're waiting because you have to acknowledge that this is a gift, not a nuisance. It's a nuisance, but it's also a gift. If it just came in automatically like other holidays, then ultimately you wouldn't acknowledge that. And therefore, Melody, not only do you have to wait till the 49th day is over, you have to count each day by yourself, because you have to count each day. It's determined upon you. You have to create for yourself your own receiving of the Torah each year anew by really getting excited about it. And part of the excitement is the fact that you're waiting. And let's just take a simple example. You're about to get married. Your wedding day is around the corner. The week of is the worst week of your life. Because if the wedding is determined for Tuesday, then Sunday and Monday and Tuesday morning and Tuesday afternoon is torture. No, let's get there already. That's exactly what God wants to create over here. Complete day. Torture, yeah, torture. Count it by yourself. Show that you want it. And then receive it with dignity. The Torah is much more than a nuisance. It's also a gift. The fact that you know how to act with regard to every situation in life, on the one hand is a nuisance, on the other hand is definitely a little bit of a relief. Because if you think about it, imagine if you had to make all the decisions by yourself. You had to decide what to eat. And you still have to decide what to eat to keep healthy, I have to admit. Not just the kosher laws. You can keep kosher and kill yourself, too. Imagine if you had to decide when to pray and what to pray. And when to retreat and when to go ahead, meaning Shabbos versus the 6 days of the week. It wouldn't be an easy decision. The fact of the truth of the matter is that I think we're very privileged to have a system that's there. So to sum it all up, God wanted this to be a gift. He wanted you not to dwell on it too much, but He wanted you to understand the gift it is. If I had it my way, and I wanted really Jews to appreciate their wives, I'd say to every man, a week before your anniversary every year, you have to leave the house. You can't speak to your wife for a week. Then he'd appreciate his wife. Then he'd really appreciate his wife. I heard a story with regard to this community, the rabbi that was once here in the past, one of the rabbis that were here in the past, his wife had gone to Israel because she lost a family member to Sitshiva, to of course mourn properly for her loved one. And then she decided she's going to stay in Israel till the 30th day, which is the end of a mourning period, in which the custom in Israel is already to do an unveiling pretty early. And after the unveiling, she'll fly back. So her and her husband have been separated, basically. Her husband, I think, went with her to the actual funeral, and then he came back to be, as rabbi of the community, to fulfill his duties here. So they were separated for about 21 days, whatever it was. Well, pretty long time. In the midst of this period, a small, young bar mitzvah boy comes to meet the rabbi with his parents. And they come into the house, and they sit down. And the rabbi says, "What's your name?" He says, "His name. Where do you live?" "What do you mean? I'm 13. I live with my parents." He goes, "I wish I lived with my wife." And he goes on for the next 30 minutes telling you how he thinks his wife should be home with him, and not in Israel. And what does it mean she goes for the whole month? It doesn't make sense to him. He went on and on and on. This poor bar mitzvah boy, 13. The kid is wet behind the ears, not to tie his shoelaces yet. All he does is watch TV and go to school. He's never paid a bill in his life, and you're telling him about your marital problems. But I thought from that story, imagine what we would do. We'd make every man, the day before his anniversary, 2 days before, you can't talk to your wife. Nothing. Then he'd appreciate his wife. It's unfortunate, that's the human being. When do we start saying you're a wonderful person? When you're lying before us in a coffin, then you're a wonderful person. When you're no longer there, we appreciate you. When do you appreciate your car? When it's in the shop. When do you appreciate your computer? When it doesn't work. You don't appreciate our computer when everything's going well. right? When do I appreciate this recorder? When the batteries are going to stop on me. In a few minutes, it's getting there. The batteries are going to stop on me. That's exactly when I'm going to appreciate the recorder. Oh, my God, I wish I had my recorder, my wonderful recorder. I'd give it a big kiss. When? When there's no batteries, when it doesn't work. That's the nature of the beast. So God wants you to fight 49 days. You have to wait and wait and wait. Then when the 49th day comes, nightfall. Imagine looking at your clock. Are we there yet? 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 And finally it comes in. I think that answers many of our questions, but it also shows you that indeed it's the strangest Jewish holiday, simply because God doesn't want you to dwell on it too much. It's important to celebrate an anniversary, but not at the expense of the rest of the year. It's important to celebrate an anniversary, but not at the expense of the rest of the marriage. You can't be a total terrible, degenerate husband or wife the rest of the year. As long as it's an anniversary, you bring flowers. It's not it. And truth be told, on the anniversary of keeping the Torah, the custom is to bring flowers into the synagogue, to really decorate up the synagogue with greenery and flowers. I always thought, anniversary, what do? You bring flowers. Beautiful. Could very well be. But ultimately, this is, in my opinion, why this holiday, on the one hand, is a stranger to the Jewish holidays, and on the other hand, it's an important Jewish holiday, because it sets the tone for the rest of the year. Now, having degraded the holiday of Shavuot so bad, I am going to say that it's important to celebrate anniversaries. It's important to go out, to really feel like you're dating again. And that's exactly what we should feel on Shavuos. Yes, we keep the Torah every day. We're keeping it tonight. We're going to keep it tomorrow night, and so on and so forth. But it's important to celebrate the anniversary as an anniversary. And therefore, I definitely think that you have to celebrate the holiday of Shavuos as an anniversary. This may explain to you the following custom of Shavuos. As we said earlier, there's no mitzvahs on Shavuos, but there's many Jewish customs on Shavuos. One of the Jewish customs of this holiday of Shavuos is the following custom. Jews stay up all night on the first night of Shavuos learning Torah, and they sleep during the day. Now there's merits to this custom, there's disadvantages to it, you can probably figure it out yourself. Well, I can tell you that in Israel, when there's only one day of the holiday, and you stay up all night and you sleep all day, there's no more holiday left. So the holiday definitely goes by pretty fast, if you know what I mean. But to make a long story short, this custom is based on a few different things. One idea is the fact that the Jews, the night before they're receiving the Torah, they went to sleep and they slept well, and God had to actually wake them up with the thunder and the lightning on Mount Sinai. And that wasn't very respectful. You should have woken up in anticipation. Fix it every year, we stay up all night. It's an experience. I don't know how much you learn during the night, but it's a wonderful experience. There's a custom like that. I always thought the custom is for a different reason. It's an anniversary. And an anniversary, you do things you don't do all year. All year, you set about time every night, every day, to learn Torah. So I personally get up earlier in the morning to do it. I'm sure you can find time during the day, and lunch breaks, internet, whatever you do. But an anniversary, you want to spend the whole day with your wife, or your whole day with your husband. So you stay up all night with the Torah. You learn all night. It's an experience. I don't know how much you learn during the night, but it's an experience. If you're up all night, believe me, as I said, the night starts pretty late. Till you finish the meal, clean up, you don't have that much more time to learn. And believe me, you're going to schmooze, you're going to drink a cup of coffee. Nowadays, shuls really take pride in what they're serving as the refreshments. So shuls are open all night, and they serve as refreshments. So I saw in a certain community in America, one shul advertised they're having sushi all night, running sushi. Another shul advertised, make your own pancake. They're in the pancakes all night. I remember when I was growing up, there was coffee and cake. That was it. Nowadays, it went up. The food, so you make a big deal out of the food. You stay up all night and you have it on your schedule. So how much do you learn? I don't know. But the idea of just staying up all night to learn something, as opposed to going to sleep, shows it's an anniversary. It's not a regular day of the year. That could very well be the basis of that custom. So if you want to really get, too bad in Halifax, we can't institute this properly. But if you want to get a real idea tonight, you go home, and after you find out all the reasons for why you eat dairy on Shavuos, you can go ahead and look and see that all the shuls in the New York area and other places, Toronto, you'll see right on their websites already, probably they have the Shavuos schedule, and you'll see all-night learning, different classes all night, 1 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock at night, 2 o'clock in the morning, until the first time you can daven, which of course is at sunrise. Anyway, you have to live it to see it. First time I stayed up all night was when I was in fourth grade. then fifth grade, and onwards. Never missed. That's your only custom, but it's so widespread you want to be part of it. There was one year, unfortunately, that I was planning to stay up all night, and I got very sick, and I couldn't. I was really sick, and I had to give a, actually was volunteered to give a lecture, and I did, couldn't have to cancel it. It was terrible. Anyway, to make a long story short, from then on I stayed up all night, and until I came to Halifax, basically. And I'm debating now, with more kids in the house, if that's an applicable thing to do. Because in order to make up the sleep during the day, you need to have kids that are very quiet. And as you know, on Shavuos, which is a full-fledged holiday, you don't exactly go to school, if you know what I mean. So therefore, sometimes that's not going to be an applicable option. Anyway, that's with regard to that. Now, just one word on the dairy. I'll just give you one little thing to think about. We can end with this. The story with the dairy is very, very amazing. You can look for all the reasons on the net. I'll give you a reason that I feel is the real reason. The real reason is to show that we got on the holiday of Shavuos, amongst the 613, the kosher laws. Now, what is the most explicit, amazing aspect of kosher laws? The fact that you have the separation of meat and milk. So what do? We begin the meal with cheesecake or with cheese and crackers. Okay? And then, after we've eaten a little of that, we fulfill the laws of separating between meat and milk. We clear the table, wipe it off real well, we wash our hands up, even wash our mouth, and then we eat a meat meal, just like every holiday. To show that on this holiday, we received the kosher laws, which means separation between meat and milk. So we really express it, we show it in such a way that everyone could see. Interesting? Accordingly, you have to eat both meat and milk on the holiday, right? Not just dairy. But many Jews only eat dairy. The reason, they say, is as follows. The reason I just said is not the reason at all. The reason is that the Jews received the Torah on Shavuot, and they had a big problem. Until Shavuot, they didn't have to keep kosher. Now they have to keep kosher. All of a sudden, they have to learn how to slaughter the meat, and then check it, and then salt it. A lot of work. It doesn't happen overnight. So what did they eat on Shavuot after they received the Torah? Well, they probably looked at Moses. We're starving here. We can't eat meat. We have to slaughter it and all that. We don't have any slaughterers yet. We didn't train them yet. We can't eat chicken. You got to slaughter. So what are we going to eat? So Moses said, eat fish. Fish, all you got to do is bop them on the head. He said, Moses, small problem, we're in the desert. There's no water over here. All right, so what do we got? Well, we got some cows, we got some goats. All right, eat milk. All you got to do is milk the cow, make it, churn it into cheese, and that's it. So to remember the fact that on Shavuot, they were stuck, some Jews only eat dairy meals. I'm not one of them. For various reasons. Some of them not so halachic. Finally, there's another reason given for eating meat and milk, and there's many more. I'm just giving a tip of the iceberg. For eating dairy, because as I said, Jewish holidays are usually identified with meat, is as follows. On the holiday of Shavuos, as I read to you before, one of the things that we have to do is to bring a double loaf offering in the temple. Right? Today we don't have a temple, but to remember the fact that we used to bring a double loaf offering. What we do today is we eat, so to speak, a double loaf at the meal. We start with meat, and we start with milk, and we go on with meat. We start with dairy, we go on with meat. So we start with cheesecake, then we go on to eat brisket. Right? That's like the double loaf, so to speak. Anyway, dairy and Shavuos are very much intertwined, and if you want to, again, look how the big Jewish world gets ready for this holiday, if you are now in Israel, you'd see this shelves overstocked with cheeses and cottage cheeses and every sort of milk, because everyone's stocking up for the holiday, especially this year, the 2 days. But still, in honor of Shavuos, so many Jews have kept this and continue to keep this throughout the generations. And if any time you say Shavuos, everyone says two words: blintzes and cheesecake.
Rabbi, is there a significant waiting time between the time you eat milk and
No. You don't have to wait. All you have to do is make sure that all the milk products are not on the table anymore. And, of course, you washed your hands. And you've also you've also washed your mouth in some way, like you took a drink in between, or you ate something bulky, like you ate an apple or something in between. That's the only restrictions. There is, of course, a discrepancy between, on the one hand, the need to wait between meat and milk. But there is a need to wait somehow or another. There's no need to wait between milk and meat. Because apparently it doesn't stay in your body too long, it stays between your teeth too long. There's many different reasons given.
It's 3 hours if you do eat meat, right?
It's different customs. 3 hours, 6 hours, or 1 hour. There's different customs.
Which one do you go with?
Which one do I go with? What my parents went with.
Which one?
I don't want you to think that's the only way. I do 6 hours, but ultimately the 6 hours means the fifth hour. The fifth hour. And the majority of the 6 hours, so 5 hours, 31. That's for real meat. If it's chicken, I wait only 5 hours. That's our custom. Okay. So this is the holiday of Shavuos. And we wish you all a very good Yom Tov, a Chag Sameach. It should be a wonderful, joyful one.